Good evening, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Mark has the day off. Today on Arab Voices, we will listen to a speech made by George Galloway, former member of the British Parliament, promoter of Freedom Flotilla, founder of the worldwide Viva Palestina movement, who has led three land convoys to break the siege on Gaza. He made that speech right here in Houston on May 30th. During that speech, when he was making it, the flotilla was being attacked by Israel, and we will hear what happened when he received that news. We will also listen to remarks made by several Houstonians that attended a protest organized by the Houston Coalition for Justice and Peace in Palestine that followed the attack on the Freedom Flotilla. And in order to do all of these, I will be skipping Arab Voices community calendar, but I encourage you to visit our website at www.arabvoices.net for a comprehensive and detailed list of upcoming activities and events in the greater Houston area. On Sunday, May 30th, the Muslim Legal Fund of America, with promotional support by Al Auda Houston, the Palestine Right to Return Coalition, held a special event right here in Houston, and the guest speaker was George Galloway, former member of the British Parliament, promoter of Freedom Flotilla that was attacked by Israel. He is also founder of the worldwide Viva Palestina movement, who has led three land convoys to break the siege on Gaza, whom, by the way, announced a few days ago that he is already organizing one land convoy and one convoy by sea, another flotilla, to break the siege on Gaza within the next few months. We will listen right now to that speech, most of that speech that was made by George Galloway right here in Houston. Now, that happened again on May 30th. It was Sunday evening, and it was about 3 to 4 a.m. Monday morning, May 31st, Palestine time, and that's when Israel started attacking Freedom Flotilla, and that's when the news started coming in to George Galloway directly of the bloody attack by Israel on the flotilla, and you will notice what he will say during his speech regarding that. So let's go ahead and listen in to most of George Galloway's speech right now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, distinguished elders of the Muslim community here in Houston, Texas, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, assalamu alaikum. Wallahi, as he read that curriculum vitae, I realized how old I was. I know Houston very well now. Some of my best friends are Texans. I have organized many convoys to Baghdad in 1999, to Gaza three times in the last 12 months. I like convoys, but I never participated in a more unexpected and delightful convoy than the one which escorted me from Houston Airport to this hotel this evening. And I want to thank my friends in Al Auda here in Houston. Their leader, my comrade Abu Obeida. I want to thank the authorities in Houston, Texas, and in particular the police department, whose skill and professionalism on the convoy here and the kind protection which they are affording me now, I deeply appreciate. It was a great welcome. and I hope to do it justice over the course of my remarks. I want to thank all of you who have come here in such numbers for this important event this evening. I want to thank the Muslim Legal Fund of America for bringing me here to the United States to speak in Miami, Houston tonight, Dallas tomorrow, Phoenix, Arizona. The next day, where my main worry is being taken for a Mexican. I want to thank the MLFA for all of the work that they do, a small fraction of which my friend Khalil adumbrated here this evening in his short address. You know, nothing could be more quintessentially American, an idea, than that every accused person has the right to a proper defense. That's the basis on which this country was founded. A rejection of the arbitrary power of a man called George from England. That's what your revolution was about. A revolution which said explicitly in its constitution that all men, and for men we should read nowadays women, are created equal and have equal rights, and that the justice system is colorblind and blind to creed, blind to everything except the law. For a long time, that's what America seemed to be to huge tracts of the world where such rights were yet to be won. Now we live in more extraordinary times, in your country and in mine, and in many others. In those extraordinary times, ancient freedoms and liberties are suspended, even abolished. But it's in extraordinary times that those who love justice most must stand up and be counted. And the Muslim Legal Fund of America is doing something that many others would shrink from doing, insisting that Muslim Americans are Americans too, and that they have exactly the same rights as any other American, and that if those rights are trampled upon, then the justice system of the United States itself will be used to try to defend them. I hope that none of you are ever in need of the services of the Muslim Legal Fund of America. But if, la samahallah, you ever do, if you ever did, you'll be hoping that fundraising events like this one were successful. And so when my friend Abu Ayman, I don't know if he's here, Abu Ayman, yes, when he comes to the rostrum after me, I hope that you will do justice to this great Muslim Legal Fund of America and make this night a success. Because I wouldn't like to leave here thinking that it's not true what they say, that everything's bigger in Texas. Let's make this a big success this evening. Now, before I go into my main remarks, you would expect me to comment on the amazing events that are unfolding as I speak off the Mediterranean coast of Palestine, where the Freedom Flotilla, of which I have the honor of being a co-organizer and promoter, is, I have even more up-to-date information than the tweet to which you were just exposed. The Freedom Flotilla is right now inside Gaza's territorial waters. These brave men and women from 40 countries, led by the great Turkish humanitarian organization IHH, founded by the greatest prime minister on the earth, Tayyip Erdogan, the Turkish leader. How I wish the Arab countries had a prime minister like Erdogan. How I wish. How I wish my country had a prime minister like Erdogan. The IHH, with its mighty ship, the Marmara, is carrying 650 people. Its smaller ships in attendance, another 200 more. They contain retired admirals of the United States Navy. They contain more than 30 European parliamentarians. They contain 2 Nobel Prize laureates. They contain cultural figures from around the world. Writers, poets, actors, singers, celebrities of all kinds, and humanitarian workers, unsung, whose names would not be recognized, but who have traveled from all parts of the world to be on this Freedom Flotilla. Right at this moment, our flotilla is surrounded by 17 Israeli warships. 17 warships. To surround people who are doing nothing except bringing vitally necessary humanitarian aid and supplies to a people under siege for 4 long years. Above them clatter Apache helicopter gunships, and above them are swooping right now F-16 fighter jets. Can you imagine? A whole war machine has been assembled at great expense, about which more later, to try to stop people bringing food and cement and bricks and mortar to rebuild and repair the houses that were devastated in the 22-day aggression, about which too more later. And yet the world is standing by, doing nothing. The American media hasn't even reported it. The British media hasn't even reported it. But by the grace of God, we no longer live in a world where information, which is power, is controlled by Rupert Murdoch, by Sky and Fox and CNN. We have the internet. We have Al Jazeera. We have Press TV. We have so many different sources of information that all of us, we have Twitter. Before the end of my speech, I'll have received 10 more updates. The ship itself, the main ship, is bristling with live television broadcasters who are hitting satellites in the heavens and reaching millions, hundreds of millions across the world. Chinese television covered the flotilla for 3 whole minutes this evening. And I think there's quite a lot of people watch Chinese television. The truth is out. The secret is out. There is a siege on Gaza. The people are desperate. Others are coming from around the world to try to come to their rescue. Israel has mobilized this great war machine to stop it, and all of the world is watching. This is an update, I think. Well, that's very sober news, if true. And this is just an early piece of news that three of the people on the flotilla have been killed. If true, this takes us into, if you'll forgive the pun, uncharted waters. Israel is spending its political capital as if there was no tomorrow. And I believe that for the Zionist apartheid ideology, there is no tomorrow. It is the last days of this Israeli apartheid. I'm shocked, of course, by this news. And I will have to seek clarification through the course of what I have to say. But if true, this is a major international scandal for which Israel must be made to pay a very high political price. People warned us. The Israelis will never allow this flotilla to go through. Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I believe in the judgment day. I believe on the last day, I will be asked by the Almighty, not what other people did, but what I did. I will have to answer as you will have to answer. Not for what others did. They will answer for that, but for what we did. And we have to be able to say that with every breath that God gave us, we did everything that we could to come to the rescue of the people under siege in Gaza. This is an obligation on Muslims. When the Quran, in the words of God, commanded the believers to stand up against injustice and tyranny, it was not an aspiration. It was not a hope that God was expressing. It was not a hunch that he had that we might follow. It's wajib. It's an obligation on Muslims to stand up against injustice and tyranny. And where in the world, after 62 years, is there a more unjust and tyrannical situation than the one that we face in Gaza this evening? Now, if it doesn't sound too Donald Rumsfeld-ish, I'd like now to talk about what I'm not going to be talking about. It's very important, especially for the FBI man in the room. Would the FBI man like to stand up? I know that he's here. And this is for him. Because I am aware, as most of you are, of the kind of internet chatter which our opponents push out to try to fill the cyber world with lies about our intentions and about our true beliefs. So I thought it was better if I started by explaining what I'm not going to be saying. The first thing I'm not going to be saying is one word against America. I didn't come here to America to speak against America. On the contrary, I'm here to agree with a very important American indeed. General Petraeus, a man with whom I have little in common, but who said before the House Armed Services Committee just a couple of weeks ago that the relationship between the United States and Israel had become a strategic liability for the United States, which has the benefit of being the truth. Some of us saw it a lot longer ago than General Petraeus, but hallelujah, he has seen the light. Given his heavy responsibilities to the national security of the United States, he has concluded and told the government of the United States that this special relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a threat to the national security of the United States, is damaging to the economic prosperity of the United States, and is dangerous to the safety of the citizens of the United States. And I'm here to agree with him. In any case, I am the great-grandson of the only woman in the entire 19th century who emigrated from America to Scotland. It's true. The records show she sailed from New York to Dundee. And if you've ever seen Dundee, and if you've ever seen New York, you'll realize what a peculiar decision that was. But that's what she... Maybe she got on the wrong boat. But that's what she did. And if she hadn't, I wouldn't be here. I have American blood in my veins. In any case, only a madman could hate the United States. Because we hated George W. Bush didn't mean that we hated the United States. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all. I'm also not going to be talking, with all my respect to MLFA, about any individual legal case, either past or present, in the United States. That would be an unwarranted intrusion into the domestic affairs of your country. And because I'm called George and because I came from England, I have to be careful not to leave the impression that I'm seeking to recolonize you. This is your business. Neither did I come here in any way, contrary to the Zionist internet chatter, to speak in favor of terrorism. I hate terrorism. Terrorism is the visiting of violence, death and destruction for political purposes against random, usually innocent people. The making of innocent people to pay for the crimes of guilty people. This is a sin in any religion, and it's a crime in any language. In my own constituency in the East End of London, on the 7th of July in 2005, I was there at the underground station as the police and the ambulance people carried up the dead and the dying and the maimed from the bowels of the earth, where 55 of them were cruelly murdered and hundreds of them hideously maimed, many for life. Not only were these people, innocent people, being punished for the crimes of Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush, they weren't just innocent people, because London provided the vast majority of the 2 million on our demonstration against the war in Iraq, because London was the place where our movement was strongest, the chances are that the dead and the dying and the maimed were our supporters, torn to pieces by red, hot, razor-sharp steel, flying glass, collapsing masonry. It was an atrocity that took place that day and on many other days in my country, as well as in yours, and in Spain and other places. And I left the underground station, and I went to the Parliament, and I rose and gave a statement in the Parliament that afternoon in front of Blair. I told him what happened today in Parliament was an act of mass murder. The only difference, I said, between you and me is that you're only concerned with acts of mass murder when they're carried out at the behest of a man with a turban and a beard in the Tora Bora, whereas I'm against all such acts of murder, whether they take place in Baghdad or in Gaza or in Kandahar or Kabul or London or New York. That's the difference between you and me. We're against terrorism, whomsoever carries it out. Neither am I here to speak on behalf of any Palestinian faction. I keep reading in this internet chatter that I'm here speaking for Hamas. I have nothing to do with Hamas. From the age of 21 until the last day of his life, I was a comrade of the late President Yasser Arafat, and I remain loyal to his view. I have nothing to do with Hamas. I have never been a supporter of Hamas. I am not a supporter of Hamas now, but I am a supporter of democracy. And the only people, who have a right to choose the Palestinian leadership are the Palestinian people themselves. Not their enemies, not their usurpers, not their occupiers, not those who pay their occupiers. And neither am I here. And this is very important, to speak against Jews. We have nothing, nothing against Jews or Judaism. We are against the racist apartheid ideology of Zionism as practiced by the so-called state of Israel. There are thousands of Jews in our movement here and abroad, hundreds of thousands across the world. Some may be here. Certainly they were in Miami with me yesterday and at breakfast this morning. Our convoys contained rabbis, for goodness sake. Only a racist could be against Jews. And I have all of my life fought against racism. My grandparents, when they arrived in their bare feet on cattle boats from Ireland and walked 80 miles to Dundee to find work, were faced with signs in all the boarding houses, "No dogs, no Irish." Till the last day of their lives they faced bigotry and prejudice against Irish people, the Catholic people in Scotland. I hate racism, bigotry, and prejudice. But I will not be silenced by the Zionist movement, which seeks to paint us as anti-Semitic. For we are not, and we will not be silenced. So that's what I'm not going to be talking about. Here's what I am going to be talking about. The reason for this extraordinary state of affairs that we have in the world, this confrontation into which we are locked between the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world, between the West and the East, this endless cycle of war and occupation and terrorist violence of all kinds is something from which we have to break out. We have to break this vicious cycle before it consumes us in ever greater numbers. People ask me, what do we need to do to break out of this? And I say I have a 3-point plan. I say that there's a huge toxic swamp of bitterness and hatred in the Muslim world, out of which climbs the monstrosities of bin Ladenism and terrorism and fundamentalism. And we have to drain that swamp of hatred. And here are the ways to do it. The first central issue is the issue of Palestine, to which I referred earlier. You see, when General Petraeus talked about this strategic liability, this is what he meant. He meant that there's almost 2 billion Muslims in the world, every single one of whom knows that those three people on that flotilla who were killed by weapons given to Israel by the United States of America. That's what he means. He means that that truth is now out and everybody knows about it. He knows, and he meant, that every bullet, every shell, every Apache helicopter, gunship, every F-16, every warship, every tank, every missile, every salary of every Israeli soldier is paid for by the United States of America. And how can that possibly be in America's interests? How can it be in America's interests to have 2 billion people in the world hate what their government, what the government of the United States is doing? The Turkish TV is reporting that there are 3 dead, 30 injured, and a helicopter fired on one of the small boats. This is very serious, developing as we meet here. And you know that that helicopter came from you. And worse, the 2 billion Muslims in the world know that that helicopter came from you. And how can that be in your country's interest? I know, you see, because my country was once an empire too. My country had an empire so vast that upon it the sun never set. But as my Irish grandfather used to say, that's because God would never trust the British in the dark. And he was right about that. Empire is about going to other people's countries, killing a substantial number of their people, occupying their land and stealing their things. That's what empire is and has always been. Saint Augustine, in his wonderful book, City of God, talks about an encounter on the high seas between Alexander the Great and a pirate captain, ordering the pirate ship to halt, a bit like what's happening now in the Mediterranean. Alexander demands of the pirate, "How dare you terrorize these waters as a thief?" It's the earliest use of the word terrorize, as a matter of fact. But the pirate answers, "How dare you terrorize the whole world? You, with your great navy, can call yourself an emperor and can call other men as you please." Isn't that the world that we have today? People appoint themselves as the emperors of the world, then go around calling other people pirates, terrorists, failed states, states that must be invaded, occupied, subverted, destroyed, partitioned. This crime in Palestine was authored by us, the British, in the building in which I sat for almost 25 years. Mr. Balfour, with his famous declaration, authored all of this misery, which continues until today. It was unique, actually, even by imperial standards. The British government, on behalf of one people, offered to a second people, a tiny group of atheist Jews who called themselves Zionists, who at the time represented a tiny fragment of Jewish political opinion in the world. One people offered a second people the land of a third people. Unique until today. Never been done before or since. But our empire waned and your empire rose. And that which had started out as a British colonial project to implant in a foreign, alien, settler state in the Arab world to represent British imperial interests became in time a settler state upon which your own country depended for its imperial purposes. But as the general said, that time too has passed, and now that relationship is not an asset for you, but is a liability for you. And it's a case that you have to make amongst the 97% of the American public who are neither Muslim nor Jew. 97%. 97 out of every 100 people in this country is not a Muslim or a Jew. And you have to take the argument to them that this is a liability in every respect for your country. I took 3 convoys in 12 months into Gaza. Why is Gaza besieged? Why are the children of Gaza hungry? 80% of them suffering from malnutrition. Why are 80% of the Gazans unemployed? Why are 80% of the people of Gaza living on less than $1 a day? Why are the women and the girls in Gaza going out in the morning combing the garbage heaps looking for food? Why? To punish them for having voted in the only free democratic election ever held in any Arab country ever. Your airports are full of young men and women in uniform being sent to Afghanistan or to Iraq, told that they're going there to fight for democracy. Well, the Palestinians had democracy. They just elected a government that Israel and Britain and America didn't like. Well, I didn't like it when you elected George W. Bush. Well, you didn't really elect him, but he somehow ended up as your president. But that would not be a reason to besiege the United States of America and starve the children of the United States because you didn't like their government. This injury to the Palestinian people is compounded by an insult which is added to that injury. And the insult is to call the Palestinians, who are the victims of terrorism, the terrorists, and to call the Israelis, who are the perpetrators of the terrorism, the victims of terrorism. It is this grotesque double standard, one law for Israel, a different law for everyone else. Look at the nuclear question. Iran is being threatened with invasion. It's already being punished by sanctions. And it doesn't have any nuclear weapons, while Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons, illegally held, undeclared, outside of the non-proliferation treaties, and acquired illegally and secretly with the complicity and the collaboration of your country and mine and France and others. This double standard is the flaw at the heart of Western policy towards the East. And the first thing that needs to be done to drain that swamp is to change our attitude to this question, to acknowledge the great crime that has been committed against the Palestinian people and to afford them justice. That's the first thing that needs to be done. The second thing is to withdraw from the occupation of Muslim lands. Not just because it's a big sin and a big crime to go to Iraq, for example, and kill 1 million people and break the country into 100 pieces and, incidentally, make the Islamic Republic of Iran the power in Iraq. At the same time as you're telling everyone that Iran is a bogeyman, what kind of success is that for Bush and Blair? They say they were against Iran, but they made Iran immensely more powerful than it was before they started. Not just because Afghan women and children in wedding parties, funeral parties, schools, homes which are bombed by drones, by missiles, fired by men looking at a computer screen when they press the button. Not just because that's a sin and a crime, but because it's not even working. Shakespeare said, "Treason never prospers, for if it prospers, none dare call it treason." These wars were a crime, yes, but none would be calling them a crime if they had succeeded. But they are a miserable failure. The attack upon Iraq has cost the lives of more than 1 million people, thousands of them Americans. It has cost the limbs and the mental health of many thousands more Americans and British casualties in this war. It's cost $1 trillion at a time when your economy is on its knees, when houses are being repossessed, where unemployment is at 10%, where you can't afford basic public services in America. You've spent $1 trillion setting fire to Iraq. imagine. It's not working because America doesn't control a single street in Iraq. And they're doing the same in Afghanistan as they did in Vietnam, reinforcing failure. Something's not working, send even more soldiers to make it not work. And all that will happen out of these occupations is that more blood and more treasure will be wasted. We will have to withdraw from these occupations sooner or later. Better that we withdraw from them sooner, so that fewer lives, less blood, less money is spent. And the third thing we have to do, and this is difficult for some of you, we have to stop propping up the corrupt kings and the puppet presidents, the dictators and tyrants who rule the Muslim world almost without exception from one end to the other. Not just because it can't be right for a democratic country to prop up a tyrant who oppresses his people, who steals their wealth, who gives most of it to us and pockets the rest. It cannot be right for us to claim we're a free country whilst collaborating with tyrants who strangle freedom on a daily basis in their own countries. But because these tyrants will fall, and when they fall, the people who bring them down will blame us for the long decades of dictatorship that they had to endure, because they know that these dictators can rule only with our support, military, financial, political, diplomatic support.
Well, that was just or most of the speech that was made by George Galloway, former member of the British Parliament and promoter of Freedom Flotilla and founder of the worldwide Viva Palestina movement, who has led three land convoys to break the siege on Gaza. He made that speech right here in Houston on May 30th of this year, just a couple of weeks ago, at an event sponsored by the Muslim Legal Fund of America with promotional support by Al Auda Houston. I attended that event and I was able to record it. We've talked a lot about Freedom Flotilla and the attack by Israel on that. We brought you eyewitness accounts over the past 2-3 weeks. There was a huge demonstration. Hundreds of people attended that on the day that news broke out on May 31st, right here in Houston in the Galleria area. And I attended that protest and I was able to get remarks from several of those who participated. Let's listen in to some of the Houstonians who attended that and what they had to say about the attack on Freedom Flotilla.
My name is Ruth Hoffman Lack, and I am a member of the local chapter of Code Pink Women for Peace, and I'm here today to protest the slaughter of humanitarian efforts to help the people of Gaza who have been beset by the very violent and narrow-minded government of Israel, and to stand on the side of love and to stand for peace.
My name is David Collins. I'm with Harris County Green Party. The National Green Party's nominee for president in 2008 was Cynthia McKinney, who was not on the Freedom Flotilla this time around, but was with the Dignity that tried to make the run to Gaza last year, was intercepted in international waters. The crew and company were taken off the boat into Israeli jails, held there for a week without trial, and then very summarily deported without being able to accomplish their objective. And all they were carrying was construction supplies, educational materials, and some basic over-the-counter pharmaceuticals to help the people of Gaza who had been suffering under the blockade. But I stand in solidarity with the Free Gaza movement. I have donated to their cause, and I just felt punched in the gut today when I heard that the Israeli Navy had boarded those boats and started killing unarmed civilians, trying to aid people now dwelling in the world's largest open-air concentration camp, namely the Gaza Strip.
My name is Shelby Stewart. I represent the Coalition to Defend Civil Rights and Human Dignity. I also work with Shape Community Center, and I am here because innocent people that were taking aid to Gaza were pulled over in international waters, some killed, some injured, many all detained right now. And the world needs to take a step up and look at this and stand with the Palestinian people who are victims in this issue.
My name is Parnell Herbert. I'm with the organization to Free the Angola 3. Also, I'm with the organization to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Carl Hampton. I feel that it's important for us to be out here today because oppression is the same throughout the world. Any oppressed people should be represented, should have to stand up and take a stand. What happened in Israel just yesterday, it's an outrage. It should never happen with any people. It's cold-blooded murder. And I appeal to the brother I love, Brother President Barack Obama, to deal with this. Israel is a U.S. puppet. And you've got to pull in the strings on this puppet and stop them from doing the atrocious things that they're doing now.
My name is Dr. Mahmoud Rabi, and I'm here protesting another crime of the Israeli terrorist action against a peace activist inside the national waters. And also I'm protesting our government's stand for supporting the Israelis, the blind support for the Israelis, and the cover-up for their crimes, that continuous cover-up for crimes. I think this should end, and we should not tolerate that. Israel is not above the law and should comply. We should force him to comply with the international law.
My name is Alia Shehabeddin, and I'm here to support the people who went with this freedom flotilla. I'm one of the people who went last year, 4th of July, with 200 American people to take aids and medicine and some supply to Gaza, and we were lucky to enter for less than one day. So I'm here to support my friends and other humanitarian people that are there.
My name is Esther King, and I'm reminded that about 3 weeks ago, many of us were out here marching against the policies enacted by the state of Arizona. Many of the people in this crowd were on Bel Air Boulevard about 2 or 3 weeks ago, myself among them. But this particular day, we've gathered under a very sad occasion, following very sad events. Those brave people who boarded ships, understanding that they were going to be in harm's way, not believing, as I didn't, that they would actually be killed, but they sailed to bear witness that the entire world can't sit idly by and watch people starve, willfully starve by a government that's hostile to the fact that they elected a government that America, Britain, and France did not like. That there are people who say, as Dr. King said, as Malcolm, as so many, that if given an opportunity to bear witness, I must be there. So I'm here today, following in those footsteps, bearing witness that what has happened in the Mediterranean is not in my name, not my children's name, not my family's name. I want everybody to know that there's a line between us and the perpetrators, that they didn't operate in my name, although they used my tax money.
My name is Deb Shafto. I'm a member of the Green Party, and I am outraged that Israel has debased all of humanity with this absolutely outrageous act of, you can't even call it piratism, even though it was on the high seas, because piratism carries a sort of gallantry, and this was nothing but a low-down, straight out murder for profit, and the whole of humanity should stand up and fight about it.
My name is John Herrera. I'm here today because the issue of what's going on in Gaza and what's happening to the people of Gaza, I think, is an issue that affects everyone. When you have a situation where people are being denied human rights, I think that is an issue that everyone has to take up, especially people of color and people involved in other struggles.
Hello, I'm Kathleen Kane. I'm from Northwest Houston. I'm here because I'm tired of our government spending billions of dollars to kill people who are only trying to help the helpless in Gaza. Let's stop the funding of atrocities. Israel has gone too far for 50 years. Bring the Palestinians back to their home. Give them reparations. We can end this. It's not a big problem unless we support the Zionists. My name is...
Well, that's just a few of the remarks made by several Houstonians at the protest held by the Houston Coalition for Justice and Peace in Palestine about a couple of weeks ago to protest the Israeli brutal attack on Freedom Flotilla. And that's all the time that we have this evening. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth.
No matter where you are on the political spectrum, KPFT is a daily check-in on the workings of democracy.
Part of a democracy is an independent press and media. Media like this is supposed to be the check and balance on government.
And community radio is one of those few media outlets left that is still completely independent. That's why, in this age of the greatest media consolidation America has ever seen, having different voices out there is essential. KPFT has been around since 1970, and we have survived through contributions of people like you. Listeners who donate to KPFT support us because they know that's what keeps KPFT independent. Why wait for a pledge drive? You can join KPFT online at kpft.org. Help keep KPFT vibrant with your financial contribution. Visit us at kpft.org to join us securely online. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. Listeners elect board members to bring diverse grassroots voices into the dialogue between the community and the station. The candidate nomination period is open now and closes June 30th. There are two ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. Volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Complete nominations and deadline information is at PacificaElections2010.org. We'll post candidate data online and after the nomination process is complete, post on-air candidate forums. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail this fall. Completed ballots will be due shortly thereafter. Pacifica's principles require that we strive to achieve diversity, and voters are urged to consider that in casting their votes. KPFT Houston.